Welcome to the House of the Hockey podcast for this fine Wednesday. I am your host, Scott Lewis. To my right, as usual, Scott Herks.
Hello, hello.
Hi. We do not have Rick Molivani today. We have a special guest, a very special guest, Rob Pizzo, Puck Daddy Radio.
I'm the special guest? God help the podcast.
You are a special guest. But we also have another special guest coming up later in the show. We have Julian Sanchez, probably better known as MLSE on Twitter, of Pension Plan Puppets. He will join us to talk some Leafs closer to the end of the hour. Anyway, to kick things off today, we have a trifecta of questionable hits. Actually, I guess we have four questionable hits from last evening. I mean, as a weekly podcast, we will touch on some other things later, including Mario Lemieux's team fine proposal, Bruce Boudreau ripping on some Hab fans, Gary Bettman's action plan, and general top talk from the general manager's meetings in Boca Raton. And let's kick things off with some talk on some questionable hits last night. Where do we start?
Well, I'd like to get the Heatley one out of the way.
Yeah, Danny Heatley.
Why do you want to get the Heatley one out of the way?
Well, I have a dislike for Heatley.
I know.
Dating all the way back to his time in Ottawa, and it was a cheap shot.
Yeah, the hit, Danny Heatley, a blatant elbow to the face of Steve Ott, last night's Dallas and San Jose game. I just caught the hit. I had thought there were only three questionable hits last night. As Pizzo pointed out, there were four. Pizzo.
I think the key to some of these hits, we keep hearing about the term hockey play. We heard it in the Chara hit. Is it a hockey play gone wrong? This clearly was nowhere in the vicinity of a hockey play. The puck was gone. Ott was there, and Heatley was almost past him and just decided to throw that extra little shot with the elbow. And I'm just baffled at everything that's gone on this year, all the suspensions, all the talk about headshots, and we have a show today with four questionable hits. I kind of feel like these guys are kids of, like, divorced parents when they're just trying to test their boundaries. Like, how far are we going to go? We know that two of these hits, in my opinion, are going to result in suspensions.
Absolutely.
100%. What is going on with players? These aren't questionable hits gone wrong. These are blatant. I don't care what the rules are. I'm going to elbow you in the head anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, what stood out was Heatley, as he skated past Ott and threw the elbow, he started looking back almost to, like, assess the damage he had thrown down on Steve Ott.
So what do you say, one game?
Oh, no. I think you'd have to go.
No. I know what we would give him. I'm saying, what do you think he'll get?
I'm thinking a two-game suspension.
Yeah, I'm thinking two.
How much would you like to see?
Well, I mean, in the hypothetical sense, I would like to see much stricter punishment handed down on all headshots. But I would like to see three, but I think two is probably
the key to this, and we've seen this throughout the NHL this year. Whether you like it or not, the injury does come into play.
Right.
And Ott got up and skated away. The bench.
So, I mean, what if you saw Ott laying there with his face melting the ice?
If Ott had a concussion, we're looking at least four games, I think.
Yeah.
If Ott had a concussion, because this wasn't even like Ott had the puck and his elbows just got up. It was a blatant, let me get my elbow to your head. If Ott had a concussion, and that's what bothers me about the NHL. They take too much into account how much the guy got hurt. Fortunately, actually, Steve Ott didn't get hurt. But every now and again, I know this sounds terrible to say, I kind of wish he did.
Yeah,
the guy would get punished.
There.
The intent was there to hurt him.
You asshole.
No, but I mean, no ill will towards Steve Ott. I got no problems with the guy, but had he maybe suffered a concussion there, maybe Heatley will learn his lesson a little more with a lengthier suspension.
I rocked the blue nose boner for Steve Ott being a Maritimer. But yeah.
The blue nose boner?
The blue nose boner.
Learn something new every day.
There you go. another elbow from last evening. Brad Marchand with an elbow to the back of the head of RJ Umberger.
This is just dumb.
Yeah, this one to me was the most, you know, well, I guess Heatley's elbow was pretty blatant, but this one could have really done some serious damage.
Yeah.
And it was almost, a Matt Cook on Mark Savard-esque, elbow straight to the head.
Suspension? It's a dangerous spot down there.
Suspension?
At the bottom of the head.
Marchand hit?
I think 100%.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get suspended, I will be livid. I will be absolutely angered because not only is it an elbow, not only is it not a hockey play in any way, shape, or form, it's to the back of the head.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many dirty things you can do in hockey. Hitting someone when they can't see it, and I've been someone who yells on the air all the time about hits from behind. I think they are the major epidemic in the NHL right now. I know headshots are big, but when you're hitting a guy from behind, soon someone's going to break their neck, and then we're going to go, oh, yeah, maybe we should throw guys out for hitting people between the numbers. But this was to the back of the head. I don't know what was going on with this hit. I think now you're looking at 3 to 4 games for Marchand here. And, you know, we heard Joe Thornton last week talk about how, oh, the Bruins don't get any kind of...
Yeah.
So I think maybe, I don't know if he did that to try to get future suspensions or what, but I know it's going to be Murphy handling this, right? Because it involves Campbell.
It'll so be a
it
conflict
be,
of interest,
Colin
of
Campbell.
Course.
Although to think that Colin Campbell has nothing to do with these things just because Boston's involved is ridiculous. We know... Even if he's not in the meetings, we know that he is influencing the people making
he's,
the decisions.
He's watching
he's
behind
their
boss. The double glass, right?
Yeah. He's their boss. It's like, all right, guys, let me know what happens. Like, so I think we're looking at 4 games.
Just sitting there tapping his fingers like Mr. Burns.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it's going to come into play so much, but that the whole notion that you know Andrew Ferentz's comments a couple weeks or a month or so back that you know the Boston Bruins, with all that's happened to them and Mark Savard. You know, should maybe take a little more responsibility for their own conduct on the ice. I really hope this one gets slapped with, you know, 3 to 4 games.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's such a meathead thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no, you have no, there's
there
no
is
business.
Intention to hurt
a guy
someone.
Skating backwards, yeah, hitting him in the lower back area of the head. Like, that's, there's a lot of potential back there to do some damage. Like, it's not, that's not like a, ah, oh, man.
But I know I'm repeating myself, but especially now.
Yeah,
the GM meetings are going on. Number one issue on the table: concussions and headshots. Let's go out and have 3 of them in one night.
It's just yesterday where they, you know, the GMs decide to vote against a ban on all headshots, and it's like, well, you know what? I think we can get away with this tonight.
And it's also, it's not like we're looking for them because of what's going on with the GMs. It's like they're there. Like, it's not like we're dissecting like games and like finding them where normally we would just overlook them.
No,
sure.
Like, you don't have to look very hard.
No. It's just, they're just doing it so much now. It's unbelievable. I don't get it.
A couple more though, to touch on Pizzo's point about boarding and hits from behind, which are, you know, at an all time high boarding calls. Sean Avery last night, called 2 minutes for boarding on Michael Haley of the New York Islanders. I don't know. Do you think Haley turned to kind of sell the call?
I don't know if it was a sell the call. He maybe put himself in a vulnerable position, but that still doesn't excuse the fact that Avery ran him. Yeah. I mean, he ran him from behind. And as long as we keep giving away 2-minute boarding calls for these things, they're just going to keep happening. We've seen guys turn at the last second, and unfortunately, there's really not much you can do. I mean, I've never played at that high of a speed, but I know at the low end of hockey that I've played, when somebody turns at the last second, there's really just not much you can do. You're going to hit them. You know, we were always taught if that happens, sometimes you have to put your arms around him to kind of try to show, like, look, I'm trying to let up as much as I can here. But I mean,
there was no let up.
Is there any doubt? I mean, it's Sean Avery. Take into account who we're talking about here.
Yes.
Sean Avery. So I don't think in any way, shape, or form he was trying to let up.
Suspension? Avery hit?
Probably won't happen. I don't think it'll happen.
That to me, it was, you know, a factor that will probably make the NHL take a good long look at it, that it's Avery. I don't see a suspension. Thinking back to last week, the Ladislav Schmid hit from behind.
But that was the same night that Pacioretty
broke his neck. Slipped under the radar.
And in my opinion, the Schmid hit was much worse.
I'm with you on that.
Than Chara's,
I said that in a room full of people last week and took a ton of shit for that, but I'm with you. One more hit to get to. Douglas Murray on Louis Erickson. Another hit in the San Jose game. The Murray hit on Erickson. I've watched the video a couple times. Obviously not the best quality of video, but not sold on... You know, a direct hit to the head, although there may have been some incidental contact.
Yeah, I think that was just a case of a guy leaning in to a guy going by kind of thing. The intent definitely wasn't there.
Unfortunately, Erickson, like, stumbled to the ice and couldn't really pick himself up.
And he left the game and didn't return.
Yes.
So it goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago.
Injury factor.
When you have a guy leave a game and not return, then the league must take a look at this. I think this is really tricky. I've watched this play, and I'm literally sitting on the fence. I'm kind of like, oh, it's a hockey play. And then it's like, ooh, but he kind of looks like he's got a big red target on his head. So I'm not sure if there was necessarily an intent. And I don't think every headshot means that the guy had an intent to hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. I think he just sometimes, you know what, to... I know that sounds weird to say, an intent to injure someone, I should correct my words, because sometimes it's just finishing a play and the head happens to be there and you kind of go for it, and it, I still think they got to be taken out of the game, but I don't think you're out there trying to put a guy out for 10 games with a concussion.
Right.
I think this is one of those times where the game's moving pretty quick. He's going for them, and it happens to hit his head. I don't think there's going to be a concussion. I may be wrong here just because of the fact that Erickson did not return.
Right, and yeah, you never want to see a guy kind of stumbling over himself.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing to watch. Sticking with the theme of violence and headshots, GMs vote against a ban on all hits to the head. Just quickly, yay or nay, did they blow this one? Or is it just something that you see taking a little more time to pass through?
I really want to see what they're going to do, though, because I'm hearing a lot of rumors about just expanding the existing rules.
Right.
If they do that and it works, then I'm fine with it. I don't care how they name it. I don't need to have a two-minute hit-to-the-head penalty to be happy as far as trying to get this problem out of the game. But they better enforce it. This is not. I hope this isn't like the first time they said they're going to get rid of clutching and grabbing, and it lasted for 2 weeks, and then it got right back to it. This, if you're going to expand hits, I believe they're saying that they can add the word violent to hits. If something is a violent elbow or a violent boarding, then it's given a major or whatever. If they can do that, I'm okay with it. I don't know if we necessarily have to have a hit to the head penalty, as if
right
in the same kind of area as tripping or hooking. It's like, hey, 2 minutes, hit to the head.
Well, then let's get a violent tripping.
Yeah, that's. I was just thinking that when you mentioned that the wording of it would be critical.
Sure.
You know, can you say, you know, that was 2 minutes for boarding, or that was, you know, 5 minutes for violent boarding?
But that's what they're saying is that might happen. They may just expand on the rules that they already have instead of inventing new ones.
Which won't be perfect, but
I don't know. I think a lot of this headshot talk is just PR.
Well, it has to, I think, to a certain extent.
There's a lot of cliches that when you hear people talking about the headshots and stuff, but I think a lot of it just comes down to the players, and if they're going to continue to do it, it's going to happen. Like, there's a lot. Like, I mean, there's not a lot of respect between some of those guys, and if someone's leaning forward, they're going to try and hit them in the head.
See, I'm in agreement with you, and I've been told by many people that I'm wrong. That right now the respect among players is the highest it's ever been.
I don't think there's ever been much.
I think obviously some people will respect others.
Yeah.
There's, and vice versa, some people will disrespect others.
There's a Lady Bing winner every season.
You can't tell me that, you know, one guy on one team is going to respect every other guy in the league equally. That's just not going to happen.
I agree with you. And I think just the manner in which some of these injuries are taking place is evidence of that. You've got hits from so many hits from behind. It's blowing my mind. And to me, that's the most disrespectful thing you can do to anyone. It's like a sucker punch.
Or maybe kick them.
Yeah. Or stomp on them like Chris Simon, you know, something like that. I mean, that's where it's disrespect. That's where you're not only trying to maybe, you know, let's not kid ourselves. When somebody hits someone else on the ice, they want to hurt them. They want them to feel the pain of a hit and maybe get up a little slower and be tired for the rest of the game. But there's a major difference between trying to hurt somebody and trying to injure somebody. And I've seen a lot more this year and over the last 5 years of players clearly trying to injure people, to take away their livelihood, to make it so they can't play the game anymore. And that, to me, is disrespectful. Mm-hmm.
Some guys make good money to hurt people. But, yeah, I agree.
Injuring is a
different game. Speaking to what the NHL is actually planning on doing, Gary Bettman announced an action plan, which we won't go through the whole thing, but to take a look at a couple highlights. The first thing that stood out to me was the ruling that the examination of a player
I like this.
With a suspected concussion will take place in a quiet place.
Dimly lit.
By a team physician rather than a trainer. And you know, I've read some things where, you know, trainers have said, you know, we are equipped to make these decisions. We are trained. We're capable. But, you know, to steal a page from the NFL, it's an independent doctor that takes a look at any player and has to, you know, make the call on whether or not they can continue to play. Any signs of a concussion, you're just shut down. You know, no questions asked. Will it make a difference? You know, instead of having, you know, your team physician that maybe...
A little biased? Little influence
no,
by the
I don't
by the brass,
you know, throw those accusations out. But you have to kind of think that if you're the trainer, you have to act in the best interest of the team And if you're a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, who a few weeks ago were, you know, on the verge of competing for the playoffs, your leading goal scorer looks like he gets a concussion. The trainer, you know, determines he's okay. He could have very well been okay.
Yeah.
Few things jump out to me when I heard this, and this is something we discussed pretty much at length on Puck Daddy Radio yesterday. One, kind of shocks me that they haven't been doing something like this already.
Yeah.
So you're telling me a guy gets his bell rung, and I said this yesterday, they use the "you good" method, which is basically, hey, you good?
Right.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. All right. You're telling me when someone takes a wicked shot to the head, you're just examining him on the bench. Two, I understand how trainers are going to be offended by this. Basically, you're taking the power out of their hands, saying you're not capable of doing this. But I understand where the league is coming from, that, you know, you're not being paid. You're being paid by the team. This individual person is not. They're looking out for the best interest of everyone, you know, mainly the player.
The person's health, the league, everything.
And this is something my co-host Greg Wyshynski brought up, which I thought was a great point. How long before we see something like this? First off, who makes the decision as to whether that guy has to go back to the room or if he's okay to continue on? Now, if there is someone to make that decision, say there's someone from the league, say that doctor says, I need to examine him. Mm-hmm. What happens when we're in the third period and the game is tied at twos with a minute left and that's one of your best players?
You turn a blind eye? I don't know.
No, but you don't. I'm saying that now you're going to have teams complaining, saying, we had a healthy Sidney Crosby in the back.
Right. Okay.
That's what I'm... Yeah.
And you forced us to take him back there. We told you. Our trainer told you he was good. And they go out and they score the game-winning goal and we don't win that game and we don't make the playoffs and you've cost us millions of dollars. That is what I think could happen.
That is a touchy subject. You know,
it's not like other injuries. It's not like where if you, say, move your knee like this and the person feels pain, you say, now you've got ligament damage. It's not like, you know, you look at someone's eye and you say, how many fingers am I holding up? And they don't know you've got an eye injury. We know that this is one of the most mysterious injuries you could possibly have. We don't know sometimes if someone's got a concussion until 2 or 3 days later when they're waking up with headaches and they can't stand straight. So for the good of the players, I mean, this is a brain injury. Your brain is everything in your body. Your brain makes you work.
Yeah.
So I understand that you're trying to look out for the players, and I totally commend that. But I understand some of the holes in this new method of taking guys back into a lit room with candles and, you know, just trying to figure
out wind and fire.
Yeah.
You know,
I see the holes, and I see the complaints that will come out in the future.
You know, at that point, you know, do you try and act like, you know, act your best to not display any symptoms of a concussion? Because, I mean, every year at the end of the playoffs, you know, someone's underperformed, and 2 days after they're eliminated, it's, oh, he was skating on a, you know, half
busted
a groin.
He had
you know, a ruptured testicle. He had a broken foot for the 3 weeks.
We all just shifted in our seats when you said
that. Ruptured testicle.
No, stop it.
No, that is an interesting argument, and it could come into play. And I mean,
it sucks that it happened to Savard, but I hope players can see the ramifications of coming back too soon, and hopefully, as much as they want to be on the ice to help the team, kind of look in their best interest in the long term as far as concussion goes. If they feel symptoms, don't try and be a hero. I mean, it's tough. As a player with those circumstances, it's tough to implement or force yourself to do, but I mean, someone could say, yeah, you know, especially, I mean, there are some players that will always go out there unless they physically can't, but.
Well, you look at someone like Grabowski.
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember the game where he looked like he was absolutely drunk, and then he goes out and scores a phenomenal game-winning goal?
Laughing his ass off.
He may be in that room right now getting examined and doesn't score that goal. Who knows how long this examination takes? I'm not Dr. Pizzo. I can't tell you that right now. I've never examined somebody for a concussion, but who knows how long that takes? And like I said, it's not too bad in game 16 of the regular season. If you're in game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs and your best player is being told, how many fingers am I holding up? You know, and he ends up being okay and missed a key shift or a key period or in overtime or something, that is going to be a major, major sticking point with some players.
And could you imagine the enraged Brian Burke taking to the media after something?
He may be so enraged he actually does up his tie for once.
He does love the loose tie.
Do your damn tie up.
Do it up.
Come on.
Another couple of quick points from Bettman's plan. Brendan Shanahan and the Players Association to look at equipment.
When in doubt, just get Shanny to do it, right?
Yeah, just get Shanny to do it. Equipment is a big one, and arena safety. Engineering firms will evaluate 30 arenas
It's dumb.
What? Really?
A freak accident.
But really, let's be honest. Does that stanchion need to be designed that way that it's cement?
No, but what I'm saying is
bubble wrap. Bubble wrap the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing had, like I was saying before, the padding on that was like those really thin blue ones that you'd have in like grade 4 gym where you'd like fall and hurt your knee on it and you're like, I thought this was supposed to be padding. I agree. I mean, there are obviously there's going to be some arenas that need a little more modification, but the fact that this is like the GMs came in to a meeting and this was like a massive sticking point
of
the
grand. It wouldn't be an issue had we not just seen, you know, the Chara pack.
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't think this needs to be, like, number 5 of 5. Like, I think this should just be a footnote. Like, oh, also, there's going to be some engineers going around making...
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think this is, like, everyone just breathes a huge sigh of relief because engineers are going to go put more padding on some stanchions. I just think that was unnecessary.
I love how everyone has become an engineer, too, including Don Cherry. Did you see Coach's Corner where he's got his protractor out and he's making stanchions on an angle? And if you do it like this and you... Come on, Don.
You know what I do like that Don Cherry's brought up a few times is the ledge between the boards and the glass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've always been on board with that. I like how he wants to
Nothing kind of strikes a uncomfortable nerve in my body like watching a guy's nose get slammed.
Yeah. Guy's face into the corner there. That's not good.
One last point, which will segue into our next topic. The NHL teams will start being held responsible for repeat offenders, players that are suspended multiple times in a season. In relation to that, Mario Lemieux sent a letter to Gary Bettman last week and suggested a team be fined when one of its players is suspended. And then, you know, he had this whole kind of plan for, you know, $100,000 fine, a $100,000 fine to the team if a guy's suspended for 3 to 4 games. I think it's $50,000 for 1 to 2 games. Escalates, and then, you know, more than 15 games, $1 million fine to the team. Yay or nay?
Nay.
You're nay?
You know why I'm nay? Because Mario's whole goal here is to punish the team, which I commend. I truly believe the teams have to be held accountable for the Trevor Gillies and the Matt Cooks of the world. Finding a team $100,000
is not going to penalize.
That's like finding us $50. Kind of. No, it kind of sucks that I got to give you $50, but I'm still going to eat dinner tonight.
Right.
I think if that's your goal, and I'm not saying this is the answer, but if that's your goal, you really want to punish the team, maybe take a page out of NASCAR. You're penalized points in the standings.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe say these fines, fine, increase these fines, but say those fines are now against the cap. Maybe say however many games the player is out, you can't fill that roster spot. To me, the whole point of suspension is to not only deter and not only punish the player, but you should punish the team. And no disrespect to Trevor Gillies. Actually, tremendous disrespect to Trevor Gillies. They're not missing him for 19 games. No. Okay? Like, there's no point to suspending a Trevor Gillies. Do you think they care? Absolutely not. No. But if you told a team who's in a playoff race, i.e. Pittsburgh, let's say, that, Matt Cook goes and runs Federtutin from behind. Oh, that sucks. He's suspended 4 games. And guess what? You've just lost 3 points in the NHL standings. Wow, you've just gone from fourth to fifth. You don't have home ice advantage anymore.
Yeah.
You think they're a little more reluctant to put Matt Cook out there?
I can't agree with you on the points one. I do
salary
like
cap one.
The cap one, I think, could actually work.
It's a great idea.
And that could really put some teams in a difficult position. These teams,
or the roster one.
The roster, you
can't
lose the
fill
spot.
A roster. Yep. Could you imagine now if you've got a major suspension of 9 to 10 games, that roster spot is not filled? That's punishing the team. $100,000? You're punishing rich guys? Like, really? You're giving a rich guy a minor fine?
I can agree with you.
Come on.
I wonder if Mario actually...
The value of the fines is pretty weak.
Yeah, I wonder if Mario actually ran this letter by anyone before he sent it over to Gary.
I love the way he said at the end of the letter, too, like, hey, keep note that we would have been fined $100,000 under this new plan. Yay.
Well, last time he wrote a letter, he ignored the elephant in the room. This time, at least he, you know, acknowledged that, you know.
When did Mario get such a voice, by the way? Mario, I love Mario. I grew up idolizing this guy, but his last 2 times in the mainstream, you know, scope of hockey have just pissed me off.
Am I going to get in shit for saying I never really liked Mario?
Yeah, you might. You might get a
I know a lot of
get a bag slap on the way out of here.
I know a lot of people who aren't big Mario fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Stones and Beatles, like Gretzky and Lemieux. Are you either like one or the other?
I don't agree with that because I might be the biggest Gretzky fan who ever lived, and I'm a big Mario fan.
Yeah,
huge.
Yeah, just something about.
I think I actually enjoyed watching Mario a little more. I don't know if that's just because I missed Gretzky's first few seasons because I was
you know, four. You know,
breastfeeding?
Yeah. Wasn't doing much other than, yeah, breastfeeding.
Being an infant.
Yeah. Speaking of owners speaking out, Jeff Molson, the whole notion, we are a weekly podcast, so sometimes we have to catch up on things that happened last week.
Yeah, apparently Air Canada, there was a chair hit.
Yeah, there was a chair hit. Air Canada voiced their displeasure, you know, PR style. Via Rail followed suit, as well as Jeff Molson, owner of the Montreal Canadiens, Molson Beer, of course. Yay or nay, corporations voicing displeasure, threatening to pull sponsorship. Pizzo, you look like you got something.
I'm just, it just pisses me off because it's basically opportunism at its best. Bunch of guys sat in a boardroom and said, we got a guy with a busted neck. How can we take advantage of this? If you really wanted to speak out against the state of the game, there were about 15 other instances this year where you could have done it.
Absolutely.
Don't wait for the Montreal Canadian to do this. You know, where are they based out of? Okay. Oh, yeah, Montreal. Yeah,
fair.
I mean, and from what I'm hearing, this is just rumors, the guy who issued this letter, you know, has a Habs pennant in his house. He's a big Habs fan. So don't make it sound like you're doing this for the good of the game. You're doing this for the good of Air Canada, because you look at that and say, hey, how can we take advantage of this? Everyone is pissed off that Chara didn't receive a penalty. Let's jump on this bandwagon and make ourselves look phenomenal. Yeah. I think it made them look ridiculous.
This is just like the Ashley Madison ads for Super Bowl. Like, you, they go and do this, like, provocative video. They know it's not going to make the cut, but they put it online. Then they submit it to the Super Bowl campaign or whatever, you know, commission, committee, I don't know. They deny it, obviously, because it's a chick running around practically topless. Then all the stories start going out that the Ashley Madison ad wasn't accepted. Everyone goes online, finds the ad, watches it, and they just got just
probably
as many
viewed more.
They probably, yeah, they get just gets just as many views without paying the $1 million fee for 30 seconds of airtime.
Yeah, the only difference is I think they kind of look good on this. I think Air Canada just looked atrocious. And you know what? It's very, 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 very rare that I say, wow, I like what Gary Bettman did. But his response to this, so
he stonewalled them. Yeah,
that's great.
And it was the first time I'm like, attaboy, Gary, show some balls. He basically
literally the first time.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a two-way street. It's one of those things, you know, they make a lot of money with the NHL as well. A bunch of teams charter with Air Canada. Don't give me this crap as if, well, we're going to take our puck and go home. And I love the way Gary just said, see ya.
Yeah.
I call your bluff. Go.
I too didn't so much agree with the execution, but I like the idea. I think, like you said, if there were so many instances this season and the last few seasons where these corporate sponsors could have stood up and said something, but of course we had to wait till it was the Montreal Canadiens, an original six franchise, a Canadian
team. Could have done it after the Pittsburgh Islander game.
Yeah, well, I mean, perfect opportunity.
Sure.
I like the idea. I think it could have been orchestrated a little more cleverly.
timing, people.
Timing is everything. Sidney Crosby, quickly, is he coming back?
He's skating. He is fucking skating. I cannot believe it. He put his skates on.
Talk about a PR opportunity.
He got on the ice with skates
and his equipment. Ironically, it was on the first day of the GM meetings when the number one topic is headshots and concussions.
Also, ironically, just days after rumors of his retirement surfaced.
Come on, folks. Relax. This is the PR department of the Pittsburgh Penguins saying, all right, how can we make Sidney the cover of every single, you know, newspaper and website on a day when we really want to hammer down the fact that, you know, the best player in the world is out? Let's throw some pads on him, make him skate around the rink, a little Sunday skate. I'm surprised he didn't have a chair and was, like, holding him up.
Do you believe it was his first time on the ice?
Bullshit! Yeah. That was his first time on the ice.
I love the footage, too, we were talking about. It looked like the footage of when they allegedly saw the Bigfoot. It's like so shaky, and it's like trying to look through the stanchions in the glass, and it's like, is that I think that's Crosby.
I think they did a couple of takes, and the first one was nice and clean, HD camera, and they're like, no, they won't buy this. They won't buy this. Let's grab your iPhone. Let's do it on the iPhone, and we'll do it like this. Come on, folks. Don't fall for this crap.
And he did skate again yesterday, which is, you know, we're laughing about it, but it's a good sign. It's
oh, yeah.
Sign
too.
I just don't think it's the first time.
No,
I think this is
I'm
the first time
you.
They wanted the public to,
yeah.
to know.
He's, you know, Mario's probably got a top secret rink in the basement of his home,
yeah.
which Crosby's been skating on this entire
lower.
Time.
Lower. Lower. It's like down in a cave.
Yeah, sub level.
It's like the back cave.
Yeah.
You got to like twist a candlestick, then that'll open up.
The whole Phoenix situation, of course, we should probably touch on it a little bit. Glendale now facing a lawsuit. Goldwater suit will sue if this, you know, they try to pass this deal with Matthew Hulsizer. And the issue of bond sales in Phoenix, Winnipeg. Every turn.
Yeah. Do you know what's crazy, though? That the story came out this week that if they do, in fact, get the team to Winnipeg, they will not be called the Winnipeg Jets.
Now, I'm having trouble getting behind this.
I am, too. They're going to be called the Manitoba something or
Ugh.
Others.
Prairie Dogs.
I personally think it won't work. I think if a team went to Quebec, you can call them something other than the Nordiques. I think...
I wouldn't want to see it, but I think you could do it.
Because yeah. what have you heard throughout this entire time? Bring hockey back to Quebec. Bring hockey back to Quebec. But you don't hear bring hockey back to Winnipeg. You hear bring back the Jets. I think fans will still show up in Jets uniforms. I even think you'll hear go Jets, go chants in the stands. I don't think it'll work. I think you have to go with the Winnipeg Jets.
I'm with you. I think anything else is just going to get slammed. And yeah. people will still cheer for the Jets. They're still going to do the whiteout in the playoffs. Manitoba Jets? No,
I don't even think it'll be the Jets.
It wouldn't even be the Jets, but I mean, Manitoba,
I understand why they're doing it. They want to, you know, make it kind of like in the CFL with Saskatchewan and everything
right.
else. You kind of blanket it over a province, and you're going to make a lot more money. But I just don't bring the Jets back. That's kind of the whole mantra of this story, and you're going to call them the Manitoba something.
And it's not even one of those things where like a franchise went to a city and then. The city that lost the franchise got a new one from a different place. Like, they can just turn everything back around and...
You know the Winnipeg Jets apparel is still flying off the shelves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why?
Why
mess with a good thing? Like, yeah. I'm not a business guy. So we've proven two things on this podcast. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a business guy. But if something is selling, why are you going to do something else? I just don't get it.
I think it's a terrible idea if there's any weight to it.
But we're kind of putting the carriage in front of the horse.
Well,
here. I mean,
yes,
they still need.
I mean,
they need a team in that city first.
We've reached a point where
it.
You can't we've mention the Phoenix
it,
Coyotes.
We've ball sillied it. We've sold tickets to something that doesn't exist.
Sold tickets. We built an arena. Now we just need a team.
Yeah, but we can't even mention the Phoenix Coyotes anymore without talking about the Jets.
Yeah,
so it has to be the Jets. Like you said, we don't say you know, Phoenix Coyotes are in trouble. The Jets are coming. You know, we don't say the Manitoba hockey team.
Yes. Well, don't worry. If it doesn't happen with Phoenix, it'll happen with Atlanta.
That's right.
I think Winnipeg's getting a team very, very soon.
One last point before we bring on our guest, Julian Sanchez of Pension Plan Puppets. Bruce Boudreau sounding off on Habs fans prior to a game yesterday. The first thing that I thought when I heard Boudreau, the exact quote, and asked about you know the Pacioretty incident and headshot issue, Boudreau snorted when asked about it. Don't come if you don't like it. Don't come to the games. Players realize they could get hurt. They don't want to do it. But unless you've played and seen what goes on in the speed of the game, you're not going to be able to argue with it. And listen, I don't want to get into any controversy. I love that he proceeds.
Yeah.
So, no offense.
That's like, I'm not a racist, but...
I don't want to get into any controversy, but if that was Hal Gill that hit David Krejci, I don't think there would be a protest tonight. Well, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, Boudreau, like last week when his Capitals had a big game against Tampa Bay, he calls Steven Stamkos and Steve Downey divers prior to the game. Is this just, you know, some Bruce Boudreau level posturing, trying to get a mental edge? Or does he have a point that, you know, staying away from the game is a better form of protest than.
Is it smart to tell your. You know, customers not to come and pay money to help pay your salary. I don't know if that's... I think it was the smartest thing in the world to say, but I definitely think that a lot of people watched that clip and went, I kind of agree with you. You know what I mean? If you're not in favor of it, then don't come. But I don't think the problem is something that simple. I don't think it's a problem that's been around in the NHL for, you know, 100 years, and now people are complaining about it. We've talked about it for 45 minutes now. There are problems in the league that must be fixed. So... To say, well, just don't come. No, I think even Boudreau would agree that headshots and hits from behind have to be taken out of the game. But I think he was just frustrated with the fact that, you know, the game he loves so much is now being, you know, thrown under the bus.
No, he's not being asked hockey questions. He's being asked headshot questions. So,
and even more so, he's not
frustration. But I think he could have handled it a little better.
It's the Capitals coach talking about a Boston Montreal incident.
Yeah. Tell me, 24/7 wouldn't have been better right about now.
Wow. Yeah. There's.
I mean, the Capitals won 9 in a row. You've got Crosby and Malkin, which I think would be more interesting to see them dealing with concussions and knee injuries as opposed to on the ice. I think right now would have been the best 24/7 leading up to the playoffs.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, it kind of ended up.
I did
being
enjoy
a dud.
Watching the Crosby the point streak going on during.
Sure,
that was.
Which I don't know. I think might be a little more entertaining than watching Crosby wake up every morning and shake his head.
Yeah, but like I said, have you ever known or dealt with someone who's had a concussion this long? Like, I want to know what he's kind of going through and what they're doing every day to test it. Can he not get out of bed? Is he having trouble walking from point A to point B without falling over? I think that'd be kind of interesting too. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy 24/7. It was probably the best hockey documentary-esque thing I've ever seen in my life.
With me on that.
But like I said, when you got Washington, they win tonight. And they're first place in the East. I know we're a weekly show. I'm sorry. I'm dating it a little bit here. But they're in first place in the East. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny it. I'm just seeing them just... Because it wasn't too long ago they were complaining that everyone was saying, you know, what is Washington doing? Like playing the...
They've won, was it 8 in a row now?
Nine.
Haven't lost since Jason Arnold's acquisition, although he's out right now.
Yeah.
Difference maker, maybe. Anyway, coming up shortly... Julian Sanchez, Pension Plan Puppets, going to talk some Leafs. You're listening to the House of the Hockey podcast. Scott Lewis, Scott Hirks, and Rob Pizzo in the studio. If you're still around, here comes Leafs talk. All right, we are back on the House of the Hockey podcast. Very special guest in studio, which is a real treat for us. We have Julian Sanchez. You probably know him much better as MLSE on Twitter of Pension Plan Puppets. Julian,
hello.
Welcome.
Locked in the middle of a fading playoff hopes with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
Where do you stand at this point? Is it over, or are you you still keeping the hope alive?
Well, I mean, it's as close to done as it can be without being official. I think if they run off 2005, 2006, they finished like 10 wins, 2 overtime losses.
Which could get it done.
If they did that,
yeah,
they would probably make the playoffs. But otherwise, you know, it was good to see them play some games that mattered.
Yep.
And I think that's all you could really ask for. I mean, considering where they were at the All-Star break, you know, just make some of the games meaningful because...
Yeah,
I mean, so often they're not this time of year for the Leafs.
The key, though, and we live in this city, so we know what it's like. Everyone always talks about how many points they are out, but they never talk about how many teams they have to leapfrog to actually make the playoffs. I mean, I know it was a big win on Saturday against Buffalo, but let's not forget tonight's Carolina. Carolina's 2 points out. They're 6 points back. There's other teams in between them and the last playoff spot. Mm-hmm. I understand if there's only them, if they're in ninth, but they haven't been in ninth in a long-ass time. So let's just all calm ourselves down. I made a bunch of bets around the studio when they were 4-0 this season. I bet anyone who put their hands out that they're not making the playoffs, including Cam Stewart and Eric Cohen, everybody else, they were diving to shake my hand. Gave me a little bit of a scare, but I think my money's pretty much good.
Yeah. I mean, the playoff talk aside, I mean, for you, Julian, I mean, there's been a lot of positives this season, especially if you look at what Burke's done the last couple of months with the roster. To you, what's kind of been the biggest surprise from this season and something that can be built upon next year?
Well, you know what? Keith Holley would be a big one. When he came up the first time, he was kind of drowning against the competition he was facing, but he's been doing a lot well since he came up after Beauchemin got traded. The MacArthur line with Kuhlman and Grabowski, those are guys, like, we'll see if MacArthur gets kept in the fold, but that's a pretty good top line. And then it's incumbent on Burke, you know, to try to bring in someone that can maybe push those guys down the depth chart a bit. Because if you're sending out, you know, MacArthur, Kuhlman, Grabowski against the other team's second line instead of their first line, then they're probably going to be killing them.
Right. With MacArthur, I mean, what to you is like something that will be easy to accept as far as a financial handout, which I think at this point, if you're Brian Burke, you have to at least make a pretty pretty strong effort to bring him back. But you don't want to really break the bank Darcy Tucker style, I don't think.
Jeff Finger style.
Yeah. Well, you know, Burke said, you know, worst case scenario, they'll go to arbitration, get one more year out of him at whatever he gets awarded. But something around what Grabowski's making, like I think Burke wants, apparently the rumor is he wants to get something 2 years. You know, get a bit longer look at MacArthur, Kuhlman, Grabowski, and then figure out where to go after the new CBA. So, you know, something around three would probably be, you know, plus or minus probably $500,000 is probably pretty good for MacArthur.
Yeah, I mean, especially, I mean, you look at the production. It should be easy to swallow. At this point where, you know, the playoffs are not, you know, it's not a lost hope. It's still, you still want to be competitive, but if you look at the last couple, not the last couple, but a few of the recent outings from James Reimer, getting pulled late in the game, not necessarily a fault of his own play, but at this point, do you kind of just keep running the kid out there, risking the confidence maybe taking a beating, or do you look at the veteran like Jaguar to run down the stretch?
Well, I think Jaguar's going tonight in Carolina tonight.
So they're officially out.
Yeah, exactly. I was joking that we should just call Jaguar the white towel when he comes in.
Throw the white towel.
Optimus Rhyme. You know, yeah. they adored him for so long. Yeah. One game he's pulled, and how long we turn on him. But
oh, no. I mean, like, it's tough for a rookie to come in and play. I think it was 14 starts in a row. Basically, everyone's a must win. The teams, like, they're where they are in the standings for a reason. They're not that good right now, obviously. So the whole team's running out of gas, and so, yeah, his stats have taken a dip. But, you know, it's part of the process of developing young players, right? You put them in tough situations and then hope that either they step up to it or they learn so that in the future they do.
Have you been satisfied with this season?
On a micro level, when you look at certain players, there's a lot of good to be taken from the year. On the macro level, it's still disappointing because you would have expected a better start or you know, better overall result, but I think on the individual level, there's a lot of good to take.
Julian, I got a question for you.
Yep.
This past week, we found out that, yes, the teachers have officially put that 66% up for sale. We're hearing Rogers, we're hearing Bell, we're hearing Tannenbaum. Are you just going to replace pension plan with whoever the hell buys this thing? Is it going to be Rogers plan puppets? Is it going to be Bell plan puppets? Is it going to be Larry Tannenbaum plan puppets? I mean, what's your thoughts on the sale? And what the hell is that going to do for your site?
I don't know. You know what? Every time, the two times that news has come out, I've gotten probably, you know, combined, you know, 150 messages, all with either questions about what I'm going to do or suggestions for the name, trying to keep it with the alliteration and whoever ends up buying it. We'll probably keep it. I mean, even if they get sold, it's a nod to the history of when the site was developed.
Right.
Who do you think buys the team?
I think if Teachers decides they do end up selling, I think now is probably Tannenbaum's best chance to buy it.
He wants it to.
I would like to not see Rogers take the team.
Well, you know, Rogers and Bell apparently, the Globe, I think, Teresa Tedesco was saying that they're probably both gonna sit out. So yeah, one thing I thought was, it's probably a good property for overseas investors. So there might be something there. But like, if I had to bet money, I'd say it's Tannenbaum. He wants it. He's got the rich friends to buy it.
It just seems like such an upside for any of the telecommunications companies, though. I mean, you've got Rogers. They could put it on everything.
Yeah.
Games are on Sportsnet.
I would worry that it would be too much of a conflict of interest, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're looking – yeah, you look at Rogers. Rogers pretty much is going to own Canada if they do this. I mean, yeah. they just will own every single thing. But we're talking about a big, big, big deal. When you're hearing numbers in the, you know,
billion.
Yeah. This isn't, you know – this isn't just a little property that they can pick up on the side. This is the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is MLSE. So,
it's not like buying the Rogers Centre for $25
million. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the price of the Jumbotron.
I remember hearing about the $25 million. I figured, yeah. God, I think me and my buddies can maybe scrounge up $25 million if I would have known, just to hang out, like, bought the place. But I agree with you. I think Tannenbaum really wants it, and I think that's who we're looking at. But when I look at the upside, and when I look at Rogers, just loves buying anything they can. I think I could see us getting reports like Tannenbaum close to signing. Oh, a last ditch effort yeah. by Rogers Communications to buy the Leafs.
Well, I think the real dark horse here is whether Score Media steps up.
I would love it.
Baby yeah. steps.
Yeah. We'll buy the Jumbotron in the 80s.
I think we're going for the Rock, maybe. Toronto Rock.
Toronto Rock. Yeah. I mean, that's about all we have this week.
Would you guys see Nonis is probably going to be the GM for Canada's
World. Yeah, it's Canada,
team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the World Championship team.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of my favorite times of year, one of my favorite tournaments to watch.
My favorite is just figuring out who's going to go even yeah. after the first round. When you start seeing teams down 3-1, and you're like, oh, okay, so if they lose tonight, yeah, yeah. he can hop on a plane and we can have him there. You know,
do you really care?
Line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I couldn't care less about that tournament.
Oh, come on, man. So it's like you get to see the scrappy guys play for their country. Yeah. Like Clark MacArthur will probably play for Canada.
All the good guys are playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, Dion and Optimus Ryan will be there.
Like all the good guys are playing in the playoffs.
That's what I'm interested in, too. I love seeing players be, you know, not in the playoffs or eliminated in the first round and do the polite no thank you.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
when you start seeing. I understand that. If you've got a nagging injury and you know you really need to use every minute you can to heal that injury, I get it. But there are times like we saw it with Patrick Waugh many times where he just did not want to represent Team Canada. And
well, I think sometimes he would turn down an invitation because he wasn't quite sure he would be the number one goaltender. And that was just a little too much for Patrick's ego.
That's a very interesting point, and I think there is some validity to it.
That was Salt Lake, wasn't it? He wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah,
yeah. He threw in the towel early. He was, you know, months in advance. I'm not going to play.
He threw in the Jaguar early?
Yeah.
I really think this can catch on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll try and make it happen.
We'll work.
Twitter can do magical things.
Exactly.
It's been another week. Thanks to Rob Pizzo for stepping in.
Nice
time,
boys.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's nice to have him in the studio. Four guys in the studio. This is, I think, maybe a first for us. Julian, thanks so much for joining
us. Sausage party.
If the Leafs make the playoffs, we'll have you back on and say that you called it at the 4-0 start.
And I'll be angry losing all the money to a bunch of people around here.
If you stuck around this long, we applaud you. Thanks for listening. Check us out every Wednesday. We're out.